Welcome to the Guthrie America Podcast. We sit down with amazing people who are doing life in our community and who are from here. Today, I get the great... First of all, let me say that I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, I'm sitting down with Jake Jensen. Before we jump into this conversation with Jake, would you please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, all the things. I would deeply appreciate it. Also, share this episode if you don't mind. I want to also give a really big shout out to our sponsors, Kevin Kraft over at State Farm. That's my guy. I was telling the story earlier about me calling because we're trying to figure out some billing stuff with my mom, because my mom has now moved over to State Farm, and State Farm is now doing some billing stuff. My mom's a little older. She's trying to figure it all out. But I'm on the phone with Kevin for about 30, 40 minutes, not just because the way that Kevin likes to do business, it's not like it's just a business transaction. We now have conversations with friends and all that. So I'm thankful that Kevin is supporting me on my mission to have every story told of the great people doing life here and who are from here. Thank you so much, State Farm. And then also North Church Guthrie. We are currently in the building. Thank you, North Church, for letting me get to know people, share stories, because I believe stories connect us. I believe that's how we grow our community, build a stronger community, because when I know that somebody likes peanut butter and jelly and I see them in Walmart, it's just something about that connection. It's a little bit deeper then. And so thank you, North Church, for supporting me and letting us use your space. Since my wife kicked me out, it's official, it's on the record now. My wife kicked me out of the house, and so that's normally where we host these. But this is great, too. It's a great space, and we're excited about it. Jake, how are you doing?
I feel like I'm doing all right.
No, you look great.
Thanks.
We both were talking about that. He looks much better than me, but he asked me when I graduated. I told him, he's like, don't we look good? I was like, you know, I wasn't going to say that then. I wasn't going to say that, but he looks much better.
That was aimed at you.
No, there was a week. He didn't say, man, you look good. Yeah. He said, don't we look good?
Yeah. Yeah, some things that we keep between us, right?
You don't have to say all the, I don't say everything. Yeah. Man, hey, thank you so much for coming to sit down with me. I really, you're one of those guys, always seem cool, calm, and collected. We haven't spent a lot of time together, but I always appreciate your demeanor and how you carry yourself when I see you. You always seem so polite. My wife, who worked at the high school, always good things to say about you, just kind of how you are, even keel and kind and all those things. And so thank you so much. But that's kind of how I know you. How would you say your friends and family, if I was to ask them, how would they say you are? How would they describe you? Oh, man. Not like that? Is that
No, I mean, the reality is I may appear like that, like a duck on the water.
Yeah.
Below surface, I'm just paddling. Right? Like, so, you know, I don't know how people would describe me.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I come off as laid back like that, and I don't always feel like that. I always feel kind of, you know, like everybody else, just kind of getting there. But you know, I hope that I'm described as kind. I think I'm pretty moody, if you ask me, my opinion of myself. But I try to be kind.
That's
but,
good.
Doesn't always happen, but you know.
It does not always
happen. Try to get there.
Well, that the word on the street is you are. At least around me and my wife, that's how we describe you. Somebody's asked us about you. And so thank you for that. Do you come from a big family, small family? Tell me a little bit about your family.
Oh, just I have an older brother. Okay. And my mom and dad. My mom and dad are still together. And everybody lives in Oklahoma City still. And that's where I grew up.
What's the gap between you and your brother?
He's 3 years older than me.
Okay, so y'all got to spend some time together.
Yeah.
Now, was he one of those big brothers that would like beat you up, get you stronger, mean to you, or did he let you play video games with him?
No, I think we had a pretty unique situation that I didn't realize that we had growing up. I thought all older brothers were nice. It turns out they're not. No, I learned real quick when I went over to other people's houses and their older brothers weren't. There's a lot of punching and dominating going on. I was very lucky to have a very kind older brother. And we always got along. I think one of the main things was that he was a lot bigger than me, and it just wasn't going to be a guy. I mean, he was just going to
dominate
me no matter what. So I was a little bitty guy, and he was big, and but he was a really kind older brother, and took some beatings from his friends, but never my brother. He's a good guy. Really good brother.
So did you grow up in the Putnam City area? I know that's where you went to high school at. So you grew up in that area. Where do you go, like, what's elementary school like when you live out in Putnam? Where do you go to elementary school at? What was the schools?
I started at a school called Harvest Hills Elementary School, kindergarten, and then at that time, that part of the city was brand new. Like, there was dirt roads to the house. It was kind of the edge of town. It was kind of like how Deer Creek is now, just out there. And then by the time I got to third grade, there's already a new elementary school being built in my neighborhood. So then I got moved to the new school called Will Rogers Elementary. And then we went to Hefner Junior High and then to Putnam City North. But it was all really, really young and new part of the city back then.
And then you went to North.
I did.
Yeah, North has, that area kind of has changed. It's kind of like morphed into something a little bit different from what that I used to remember, Putnam City North.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger, and it's kind of enveloped in the city now, where, like I just said, it was literally like County Line Road, 122nd. That was, beyond that was just wheat fields and dirt roads. Yeah. And now that's, you know, that's all just also built up and a lot different. It was a lot smaller school back then.
But it was still like a 6A school. I've always known it to be like a 6A school or whatever the case may be. Now, growing up in that area, going to a 6A school, was it, because I grew up in Guthrie, we always either 4A, then moved 5A. When I was in school, I believe we were 4A, but not as big a school. And we didn't have 6A, I guess.
Yeah, it was 5A. It was the 5A biggest class,
back then. Yeah. What, and now that you've kind of experienced smaller school because you're here or whatever, what's the big difference between like a 5A and a 6A or 4A and 5A at that time that you see?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. We're talking about athletics, so that's what I know is depth, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go a little bit deeper. Like I played football out there, and I only had to play one way.
Gotcha.
Whereas a smaller school, you got guys playing both ways. Someone gets hurt at these smaller schools,
you're done.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, a little bit of depth and competition, but
yeah,
that's about it. I mean, athleticism's everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
where you may have three athletic running backs, you just may have one.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be somebody who can come fill the role, right? But
right.
They may not be as on par as somebody else.
Yeah,
when you come to some of the smaller schools, yeah, for sure. Tell me, so talking about athletics, because that's what you said you're most familiar with. Tell me a little bit about your, you play football, you just said, running back is what I know of you. But talk to me about your career, your sports career.
Okay, well, I don't know how exciting it's going to be, but I'll tell you about
it.
So, I mean, like, me and all my friends, we just grew up playing sports together, and my dad got me interested in track and field at a really young age. I'm like 8 years old. We used to go to these summer track meets and travel.
Can I ask, why did he do that? Or is that going to be part of the story? Like, what made him track and field? Like,
yeah, no, I don't know. I was fast. My dad loved track. He would take me to, he ran in high school and he went to, my parents are from UConn, and he was fast, and I don't know why. But I think he just saw that was somewhere where I could really fit in really good.
Gotcha.
And he used to take me to college track meets all the time. Oklahoma City used to host the NCAA indoor track meet at the Myriad back then. And he'd take me to that all the time. And he'd take me to meets. And we'd travel. And he would put together these sprint relay teams with me and my friends. And we were really good. And we got to go to – we'd travel all over the country. We'd go to nationals. And, we did the Hershey Chocolates had a relay or a track meet, and if you qualified, you got to go to the Hershey, Pennsylvania, and run in their big track meet. We got to do that one time, and Michael Jordan was there. He was the host, and he came up to us and said, "Hey, guys, I got my money on you." And he pat us all on the butts and
get out of here.
And we dropped the baton.
No,
yeah, that was almost our big moment.
He's like,
almost had, but. So, And then I grew up playing football from a young age too, and loved it. And I thought I was a football player. I mean, and I was good, but just had a lot of good coaching and a lot of talent around us, and I don't know, just loved it. And
yeah,
played in high school, and we had a lot of success. And then I went to my older brother played football at Southwestern. He was the center. I was telling you, he was bigger than me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so he was out there, and then I got recruited to go out there, and I ended up running track out there too, and they made me to cornerback out there, and we had good years and bad years out there, but finished with an NAIA national championship out there. So I was a state champion and a national champion in football my senior years. So
that's pretty cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Which one was better? Like, which one created the most excitement for you?
You know, they're all relevant to where you're at in life. Because they're both very important to me, you know? And I'm still friends with, you know, kids I grew up with, and I'm still friends with my college buddies. We still all get together. And win or lose, I still would be friends with those guys. Because as you know, whatever you're involved with, whether it's, you know, I see kids involved in the music program here or the drama or whatever it is, whatever you grow up doing together, it bonds you. You know, for me, it just happened to be athletics. And whether we won or lost, we're still going to, we're tight. We're brothers to this very day, you know. So one of the questions you asked me, how did I get into running?
Yeah.
Or we're going ready to go
yeah,
there?
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
So I'm not a runner. I was a sprinter. There's a big difference.
Oh! Okay? Like, you're going to get technical.
Nah, if you tell me, hey, we're going to go run 5 miles, I'm not doing that. You know, I get from here to there fast, I'm done. I actually hate running. I love to sprint fast. I always hated running. You know, I'm not a runner. There's a little bit of difference there.
So, gotcha.
So in college, I was a year ahead in track than I was in football. Because in football, I'd got redshirted, in track I hadn't. So my senior year in track, we were really, really good. And I just ripped my hamstring in half in midway through the season.
Oh.
And I couldn't finish the season. Very disappointing. The year before, I'd gone to Nationals, and our relay team had. And then in the 200, I'd gotten like 7th. And I was going to come back, and I thought I had a chance to go top 3. I just couldn't get healed up. And it was, yeah. And then I rehabbed, played my senior football season. We had success, and graduated. Moved back home, and a friend of mine who is a legendary high school track coach, he's a little bit older than me. He was one of my camp counselors actually growing up. Pretty cool. That's a side story. But he calls me and says, hey, let me train you. And I was like, what? He said, just let me train you in the sprints, and let's see what happens. So I was,
this is after
high school? This is after college. I moved home with my parent, and you know, didn't really know what I was doing. I was working. And so
hold on a second. Let's go back a little bit. But you were running in high school.
Yeah, I was running. Yeah.
Like, did you win state?
No.
You did not win state?
No. Okay. I made it to state. I was 17 when I graduated. I was a boy.
Okay.
And I was running against Mike McDaniel, Jeff Frazier, PJ Mills, all the athletes.
Right? Yeah, all those names.
And then you got me standing out there. Yeah, just a little boy.
Okay. But so in high school, you didn't win state in track.
Right.
But y'all did win state in football, mm-hmm. right? And you were the running back.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hadn't really developed yourself as a runner then. Right. Then you get to college. I guess you developed a little bit more.
Just kept getting.
Thought you were really going to get there. Then your senior year, you pull a hamstring, mm-hmm. didn't develop, didn't get quite where you wanted to get. You graduate, even though you won an NAIA championship football. Yeah. But still, track still didn't come all the way through.
Right.
So you graduate, mm-hmm. and okay, so now you're at the place where it's like somebody calls you and says, hey, let's just see what can happen.
Yeah, and I was unfulfilled the way my college track career had ended. And so he starts training me in a different way I'd ever been trained. And we start entering.
What was the difference? Like, what was it about the difference in that training?
Well, he was just a real track mind, and he just really pushed me beyond anything I'd ever done physically.
Was that pushing you like in the practice and how you were practicing? Was it in the weight room? Was it both?
It was both, okay. But really on the track. Okay. His name's Steve Patterson, great guy. He ran track at OSU. Just different. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? So we started entering track meets. It's called just kind of unattached, just kind of by myself. We'd go, if a college had a track meet or there was just some open track meet somewhere, right? I'd enter these meets and I'm like, whoa, what are we doing here? And so the punchline is that it turned out that I had world-class speed. I just never knew, right? And so ended up getting an agent, and for several years I traveled all over the world and competed in track and field with people that here don't understand that that's a thing, right?
He's like,
what's a deal?
What? Yeah. It's almost like, so if you want to go in tennis, so normally people who, if you play college, even if most a lot of times tennis players don't play, but they just start going and playing these tennis tournaments. Mm-hmm. You go around the world.
Yeah.
And then if you get good enough, you start getting sponsors. I'm assuming that's the same way with track. And then next thing you know, you're in the Worlds or the Olympics.
Yeah, so outside of the United States, they call it athletics, but track and field's a big sport. You know, and of course, you got soccer and things, but everywhere, athletics is a big sport. It always has been. And, you know, I'd travel around Europe. And back then, I didn't even have a cell phone when I first started. So I have to go to pay phones and put in these long codes and try to contact my manager, who would tell me, okay, you're going to get on this train, then you're going to get on this plane, you're going to end up here, you're going to end up there.
Because are you doing this by yourself? Are you traveling by yourself?
I did travel a lot by myself, but I also traveled with the Irish national team, because he was married to an Irish athlete and ended up getting to know all of them, so he managed all of them. So I traveled around with the Irish team, and in the downtime, we'd end up in Ireland sometimes just hanging out. And it's really a cool experience. But, you know, America is very deep with talent.
Yeah.
And so I was okay on the American level. But you get me outside of America, get me over Ireland, for example, or Belgium or Germany or something like that, and I was beating their national champions, you know. And I'm here working at a pizza place during the day, training at night. You know, and they couldn't believe it.
Like, yeah.
You mean you're not taken care of by your country? I'm like, no, we're just on our own over here. And so it wasn't lucrative and it wasn't sustainable. Like, had I been from the Netherlands or somewhere, I'd have had to, you know, probably gone to some Olympics and things. But it just wasn't going to happen here. But it was incredible experience, you know.
How long did you do that?
Until about 2001, you know, I finished college in 96 and then did that for, and then I tried out for an arena football team, made the team, played a season, probably shouldn't have done that, a little rough on my body, and just that kind of the end of everything.
Oh, wow.
I tried to salvage some career after that. I just beat up and my coach had moved on, and it's time to move on.
So you went and tried to do this arena football, and that kind of slowed down your track career, your athletic career.
Yeah, I mean, just it was rough. It was like hockey, you know. I had to go get a real job after that. I never just could find time to do it. You know, physically maybe I could have done it, but you know, everything has its time in life.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Do you remember your last track meet?
Like
when you. Because did you have a last track meet? You knew that was your last track meet?
No.
Did you have a last track meet and then you just never got back around?
Well, I mean, I actually tried to come back and do some. So I had some, like, really bad last track meets after the fact.
After the arena football?
Yeah. And it just was like, maybe we shouldn't do this anymore. But I think my last, like, European track meet, I was in Berlin. And the funny thing is, like, I don't know how real we can get here, but like in America, we talk about it. There's not a lot of white sprinters. And there weren't back then. And so it's a bit of an anomaly. Kind of, it's fun here. Yeah. It's banter. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My friends enjoyed it. The guys I raced against. It was just, thing. But when we get to Europe, I look like a European.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that. Yeah. It was weird to them because it's not the American sprinter they're expecting to go over there. Uh-huh. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And it was aggravating to them. It was great for me. I loved it. I'd line up online and go, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, I got this. And so,
what was your favorite race?
200 meters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, gotcha.
Yeah. So, it was, probably could have been the better 400 meter runner, but it's too hard, especially when you're training by yourself. I was just too lazy, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's a different kind of workout.
Yeah,
for the 400. But the 400 was my favorite.
It's great.
It's a great race. The 800 over time, because it almost is a sprint.
And it's fun. It's got a lot more strategy.
Yeah, it has a little bit more strategy, but it's fast.
Yeah.
I mean, the mile's becoming that way as well. But yeah.
So as a coach, I love coaching 400. I love the mile relay. Love watching a good 800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some fun races. My senior year, I had a hamstring problem. So my junior year was my fastest split for the mile relay. I never was a great open, but the mile relay, that's what I was banking on for us to win state, mm-hmm. kind of like the mile relay. And then my senior year, I blew my hamstring.
Ah.
Yeah, and so I was so disappointed. Even though, now that I look back at it, it's like I was running more off natural. I wasn't working out, not doing it as hard as I probably should have and all that. But I love track.
Yeah.
Track was so fun. The camaraderie, the hanging out all day.
Mm-hmm.
You get to meet so many new people, build friendships. You get to know people from other schools because you're there all day long.
Yeah.
So you really start developing some cool relationships and getting to know people outside of Guthrie, a smaller town.
Yeah.
As an athlete, what are some things that you walk away from? Because that's a lot of work. Your traveling experience, the workout to be fast enough. What are some of those habits and things that you still carry today?
Well, so I've thought about this a lot, and there's an aspect to that I had to be very selfish to be good enough to compete at that level.
Mm.
And I don't know if that was the healthiest way to live, but and probably a lot of high level athletes are probably like that. But
what does that mean?
I just, my social life didn't exist. I had to eat certain ways. I had to make sure I was getting sleep. I was weird about just taking care of myself. And it almost makes you a little bit of a introvert and to avoid a lot of situations. You just couldn't live a normal life.
Yeah.
You couldn't go out and just have fun and all the time. You know, there were some times when you could, but you had to really, protect yourself. I don't know if that's the mm-hmm. right word or not. But with all that came discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that without me today even realizing it, I probably get through things.
Yeah.
Whether I feel good or don't feel good or what I want to do it or not. I think a lot of people learn that from sports growing up is you just got to go do it.
Yeah.
It's the day. We got to get through today, you know?
Yeah.
And that might be one. Just the showing up every day.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to be a great day or not, just show up.
Yeah.
And that's 90% of the battle sometimes in real life. Show up at work. Just, you know, let's get there.
Yeah.
Let's be there for the kids.
Yeah, talking about the kids, now that you're teaching it, right? You're a coach. So you were once a high level athlete. Now you're coaching kids who very few of them, if any, are going to be at the level that you were at. You're national champion. You're a state champion, state high school champion. Mm-hmm. You travel the world. Is it hard to coach just kids who aren't going to be that?
Well, you know,
and I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm saying that, like, that's the truth, right?
I think that is, like, the guy I coach with Bryce Balensiefen was, he was a very high level athlete too, and he's a distance runner, and he was, and we've had these conversations that the, our expectations for kids deep down inside are really high. And you know, you compare, like, why don't you all want to do what he did to get there? Why, yeah, why don't you want to do that?
Yeah,
you know. And so we have to a lot of times check each other and lay down our, like, hey, it's okay, they're not gonna practice like you practice, they're not gonna and I'm old enough where I've gotten past that, and
so you're kind of mentoring him through what you've already worked through.
Yeah, and he has to check me too, because I'll get so frustrated sometimes, and he'll just be like, hey, you can't control that, you know. Yeah. But we have high expectations for kids, and if you don't, why are we coaching? What are we doing?
Yeah.
But you have to know, it's also realistic. You got to know that most of these kids aren't going to do it at a different level. They're not going to go on to do it in college. Some will, and that's great. But it has its place, whether your talent, whether you have the very high talent level or not, it has its place for these kids.
Yeah.
It's belonging. It's learning discipline. It's, you know, there's things they'll take into all aspects of their life for this, and we have to understand that.
Yeah.
And that's healthy for us to get to that point too.
Where, yeah,
we go, you know what? This is what it is for these kids right now.
Yeah.
And it is a learning experience. It's a place to belong. It's a place to be healthy, get healthy.
Yeah.
Learn cooperation, working with people that might get on your nerves.
Yeah.
It might not be your best friend. But you got to be on a relay team with them.
Yeah.
And that's real life.
Yeah.
You got to work with people. And you just got to figure it out. I don't even know what the question was, if I even answered it correctly.
Well, I was saying, like, is it hard to coach when you've been at a high level? And I think you went into some great points as far as, like you may not be coaching based on them one day getting to be the athlete that you were or doing the things that you do, but you're coaching them now, like learning some very important life skills, like working together,
yeah,
things like that. That's what I hear from you, which is really, yeah, good. Because now I'm thinking about, like, I never, when I ran track, a relay, I never had to run a relay with somebody I didn't like.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, but I see it.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. But now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, to be good, liking them or not, you still got to work together.
Yeah.
You know, now that I'm an adult, of course, I know those things. But when I was that age, I never played football with people that I didn't like, yeah, per se. Like, we all got together, yeah, and, you know. But I can see that happening. And some, there may be this kid that I just didn't know didn't like,
yeah,
me.
You didn't know they didn't like you.
But we played together, and we were decent at it and stuff like that. So that's really good. And I may come back to that because, okay, I think there's so many things – from your profession as a teacher, because we're not even talking classroom,
yeah,
right? But as a coach, there's just so many things that I'm so interested in and intrigued by, because you're dealing with so many different personalities, right? There are some kids that shouldn't even be out on the track, but they're on the track, yeah, so you still gotta to help coach them, encourage them, the life skills out. There's just so much there to the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
But we may have to come back and do a whole episode, yeah, on that, but. You're not from Guthrie, living in Guthrie, America now, been here teaching and all that. How did you get to Guthrie?
We were living in the middle of Oklahoma City, and kind of a cool area, but it was kind of an area that was starting to, the houses were starting to be flipped and renovated, and you know that area around Midtown and...
Yeah, Midtown, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and... Yeah. It's a great area, especially if you're... don't have kids,
yes,
or if you're single,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But we had, my wife and I at the time had two little ones and an older, and we had three girls,
yeah,
right? And it was just hard to figure out the schooling situation at that time and where we lived. And so we just wanted to figure out somewhere else to go. And at that time we didn't want to move to Edmond because it seemed like all our friends had moved to Edmond. I love Edmond. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Just didn't want to go to Edmond. And so we thought about some...
Thank you for not going to FBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suburban areas. And I don't know. One day we just... Like, what about Guthrie? We drove up to Guthrie and like, this place is so cool.
Yeah.
And we walked around and looked at... And I we lived in an old house and I love old houses. And so, of course...
You got plenty. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we just decided that this would be a good place for us to come live. And I wasn't teaching at the time. And we got up here and just decided to get back into it and made a couple of phone calls. One was Gary Boxley. And the next thing I know, I'm interviewing. And but just wanted a different situation for our kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And
ended up here. What I know you talk about old houses, kind of walking around and seeing Guthrie from that perspective. Now that you've been here, what are some things that you've really enjoyed the most about Guthrie?
Well, I've met so many. I don't want to be a cliche, but the people are incredible.
Yeah,
like really. I mean, yeah. I've met so many wonderful people that grew up here and that decided to stay here and live their lives here. And you know, I came in as an outsider, but and sometimes it's hard to break into the real Guthrie people. But I have. Maybe it's through my kids being friends with their kids. I've met so many wonderful people. It is a beautiful town. The buildings are great. It's that it still has a small town feel to it.
Yeah.
The parades are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Homecoming is great. I mean, I can. The first time I went to a parade and there was kids in the parade that were in my class and they're, Mr. Jensen, yeah. I got goosebumps. I've never been to something like this before.
That's so cool.
And I, like, going into Walmart is, if you're in a good mood, it's incredible because you're probably the same way. But I'm going to run into 30 people I know, you know. Because everywhere you go, there's going to be people you know. You can't. You know, you're in middle Oklahoma City, sometimes you're surrounded by tens of thousands of people, but you feel alone.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel that way here.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
I think you're the first person that I've heard say it that way. Like, it's great if you're in a good mood.
Sometimes I wish I had the funny nose and the glass and the mustache to hide in there. But that's one of those situations where... Sometimes I'm tired, I'm messy, been mowing my lawn. Yeah. I just want to get into Walmart or to cash there, whatever it is, and get out.
Yes.
But I'm going to run into people. That's one of those lessons you learn from playing sports or whatever is you just
show up.
You just show up. You just say hi. You just deal with people. Yeah, they don't care that you're tired.
No.
They see Hedy and want Hedy.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
You know?
They're not just thinking about, like, well, where is he at in this moment?
Right.
Like, does he want to talk to
me? That's just one thing. You just show up and you do.
Yeah.
But really, I do love it. Most of the time, I look forward to seeing who I'm going to see in there.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to, what's Crest? What's the new place down in Edmond? The new grocery store, Crest. So one day, I was like, you know what? Great mood. I'm gonna go down there and
you'll do my shopping.
There's more Guthrie kids working in there than up here. Mr. Jensen, Mr. Jensen. Like, oh man.
I'm not just saying that's nothing but Guthrie Part 2 there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That is so funny. That's really
but people good. Here are incredible. And the people that I work with at the in the school, it's like a family situation. It really is. From my principal, the superintendent, the principal, to my athletic director, to the people that I work with in my science department and stuff, I'm so comfortable with them and being honest with them. Like, I can, it's just different.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. Yeah. So you said something about breaking into the Guthrie, whatever. How we word that, whatever.
Society. Society.
This Guthrie. People say that now. It may be different because I'm from Guthrie, so I don't even recognize this. But I'm like, is this really true? Like, do people feel that way? Do people like what? What is that? It's not true.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be unique to Guthrie. Maybe it's any place you go to.
But this, this is where you're from,
not,
though.
This guy's not from here. What's he doing here?
But you broke it.
I broke it.
How long did it take to break in? Did your kids have to start having friends here?
I think that helped. I think that helped a lot. I think that was a big deal. Like they were, people were forced to be friends with me. I was watching their kids, or you know, their kids are coming to my house or whatever. Yeah. Like, okay, well,
we'll bring you.
I guess we'll invite this guy over.
We'll let him in. Oh my goodness, that's funny. But I hear it all the time, and I guess because I'm from here, I was like, I don't get that. But I left for a few years. I was gone for a long time, and then came back in 2007. So, but
there's always something going on here too. That's a cool thing about Guthrie. Yeah, there's always an event. There's always something.
What's been your favorite event? Like, do you have one that's been your favorite?
Well, like I said, the parades are different. Yeah, or different. Are really cool. I like that.
Do you
I
have
like
a parade spot?
Oh, yeah. I can walk from my house. So I walk south on Elm to Oklahoma. That's my spot.
You just stay right
there. Right there. So I can walk back and forth. Stay right there. And here's the deal. It's early in the parade, so everyone's still there in the parade are still excited.
Yeah.
Right.
They still have the energy.
Yeah.
They're not worn
by the time
out.
They get downtown and take the corner.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
this is true.
Yeah,
this is
so
true.
We get them on early.
That's right. And you get the candy.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed candy because by that time,
they're out.
The people giving it out so excited, and then, you know, you're like, oh, we don't have any more candy.
Yeah.
You're like, well, you got like five more blocks to go. You didn't get enough candy. Yeah. Quit giving out so much of it. Yeah, that's funny. Funny. What was I gonna say? So your favorite, the parades, your favorite thing?
Yeah, just homecoming's great. All the stuff they do at Christmas is fun. The Red Brick Nights are a blast. Yeah. What a great idea that is.
Yeah.
That is so fun. You just go down there and you see 1,000 people you know.
Yeah.
Hang out.
It's just like one big party.
Yeah.
You know, it's just family having dinner together now. Like, Saturday night, we're all having dinner together as a family downtown.
Yeah. I mean, we're so close to the city that you don't feel like you're in, like, I don't want to throw out some town.
But that'd be bad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We woke her somewhere like that. But
yeah, that's really
but
cool.
But it still has all the aspects of being a small town, which are important to me.
Yeah.
Not growing up in a small town. Someone, you might take a lot of things for granted. Not you, the collective you.
I got you.
Take it for granted where I come in here as an adult going, oh my God, this stuff, all this little, these little things are incredible to a community.
Yeah.
All the little things that people do around here.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. I love that about Guthrie. Tell me what's been your favorite thing about being an educator? Like, not even a coach, but just from the teacher perspective.
Well,
as a teacher.
If I can slightly back up.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a teacher.
Okay.
I didn't know what I wanted to be, but like if you were to talk to my mom or my dad, they could probably tell you that since kindergarten through my senior year in college, I probably said I hate school a million times. Every day I wake up, I hate school. I don't want to go to school. I love the social aspect of it.
And you love being an athlete, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You enjoyed that part.
Yeah, I have really fond memories of school, just not the classroom.
Yeah.
I had great teachers and all that. I just hated school. I don't want to go to school there. So it wasn't on my radar. But my older brother was a teacher and coach, is a teacher and coach. And I just watched him do it and eventually just was like, you know what? That's a pretty good lifestyle he lives. And I went and got my alternative certification in my 30s. And started doing it. Didn't like it at first. Got out of it and go, told you, didn't like school. Got away from it. Tried a bunch of other careers. And none of it ever fit. So I got back into it when I came back to Guthrie. And it finally made sense to me. And I needed to be older for it to make sense to me. But I really enjoy working with teenage kids. Mm. And I am a coach, and that's a really important part of what I do. But the kids in my classroom have become super important to me.
Yeah.
The non-athletic, they might be athletes, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're in my classroom. Just whatever they're involved with, I don't care. They're in my classroom. And I have come to really love that. The interactions with them, and, you know, they, in 10 years from now, this is what I hope. I mean, they may not be able to tell you what the mitochondria does, or, you know, draw photosynthesis out on a board, but I hope that they say, ah, Mr. Jensen was, you know, he cared about me.
Yeah.
He, and that's kind of where I'm at right now, is that it's, I don't know if I'm worthy to do it, but I have an important role in a lot of kids' lives, whether we as teachers want that or not. We have an important role in so many kids' lives, just being there every day, showing up every day and saying hi to these kids, whether we're in a good mood or not, taking care of them, helping them, answering questions. And I never thought I would be at the point where I say I love the classroom.
It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But the interactions I get with the students is
incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah. I love teachers. Appreciate teachers so much. Of course, I have this mission of encouraging a million teachers weekly. And some of it is just that. It's not even about the 2+2s. It's just about the investments you all make and the impact and the influence that you can have on a student's life and all that. More importantly, like, what is it for you to be a father? What does that mean to you? What is that like for you? Do you have all girls?
All girls.
You are a girl dad. Yes. Through and through?
Yeah. Yes.
Talk to me what it's like to be a father, what that means to you.
Best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, and again, and I got started late with that too. You know, it's a young man's game, and I'm not young. I've got younger kids. I was just thinking about that earlier. I'm almost 50 next month, and I've got an 8-year-old, 10-year-old, and then Lily is 16. And my parents are probably in their mid to low 30s at the same time frame where I am now. So, like, wow, I don't know. Again, it probably benefited me to grow up a little bit. Maybe I had an extended adolescence where I couldn't have handled it younger. But being a dad it's everything.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
And I may not have been able to enjoy it as much when I was younger. And don't get me wrong, it's exhausting, and I have my moments, but yeah. I love being a dad.
Yeah.
I do. I love the girls. That's cool. So much.
Well, now, you never had boys, but what do you think is the hardest part about raising girls?
Oof.
You can't even...
No, I mean... when they're all teenagers, you might want to ask me then, because they still are... One of them is a teenager, and she's pretty great. And the other two are still little girls, and so, but just all the dolls. Like, if you walk into my house, it looks like it's just an explosion of a doll, baby doll, pink, purple factory just happened in my house. Just, what is all this stuff? What? Like, I don't know. Just all the girly stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd be a good boy dad. I think I'm kind of was cut out
built to be a girl dad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't fish. I don't hunt. I can't build and fix things. All that. Yeah. Not that girls don't do that.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I just kind of, yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm.
Unlike me, I'm sending my boys out because I don't do any of those things either, really. And they're going to go into the world, and somebody's going to be like, who was your dad? Your dad didn't teach you how to hammer a nail? Or right. No, he didn't. Leave me alone. Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite daughter?
No, you can't ask that. They're all
no,
They're all your favorite. They're all so different. Uh-huh.
I mean, I have a favorite child, so I always ask the question to other people. Nobody's ever willing to admit it. I may get one or two people sometimes to say that they have one. I have a favorite child.
It depends on which day of the week we're talking about.
See how if I keep massaging this thing, he's going to get to the place of telling us exactly which one. But I won't do that to you because it's on camera. They may see it.
I love them all. They're all
incredible. You don't want to go to counseling later? I tell my kids, all right, if you want to go to counseling, we can. But she's my favorite, okay? And so we can go to counseling when they get older or whatever the case may be.
No, for real. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, they're all so unique that it just separates them as all being my favorite. I mean, that's the non-controversial answer, but that's the truth.
No, that's not the truth. It's okay. It's okay. We won't press you to tell us which one. We get it. I respect that. Okay, so I got some questions. You just kind of answer whichever one, okay? Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
And I'm proud to say that he didn't ask for... We got coffee earlier. He didn't ask to put anything in it.
Like, to the addiction level of coffee.
Oh, it's addiction. It's, you're a teacher.
You can get away with that.
Early bird or night owl?
Neither.
Neither.
Not an early bird. But if you try to keep me out too late, it's not great either. But if I have to pick one, I'm going...
Early?
Late. No, oh, not late. Early.
Definitely not early.
Morning's brutal.
Morning is a brutal for you.
Like, I feel sorry for my first hour sometimes. I apologize to him. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm nicer throughout the rest of the day. I get a lot cooler than this. I'm grumpy.
He has four females at home.
Get to bed early. Mm. Can't. What's one thing on your bucket list? You don't mind sharing one thing on your bucket list?
I don't know. I don't know. We might have to come back to that.
Okay.
I don't know. Bucket.
Think about it. Would you rather travel in the past or the future?
Probably the past. Yeah. Kind of intrigued by historical things and history.
Yeah. Nobody ever wants to go to the future.
Yeah, it sounds scary. I don't know.
You don't want to know the truth.
Sometimes the past. Yeah.
I can deal with the past. I know that it's already happened. I kind of know. But the future, though?
Oh, it's scary. There's some nostalgia about the past that seems wonderful. And I know it probably wasn't. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's one superpower you wish you had?
I'd like to be invisible sometimes. It'd be cool. Just sneak around, you know.
See, no, that's what I was about to say. I'm concerned about people who want to be invisible. Yeah. Just sneak around, just like.
No, I mean, just not like.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody knows you're there. Yeah, you're just kind of in the biz, in the mix of things. Mm-hmm. See what's going on. Yeah. Now, are you introvert or extrovert?
I'm an introvert.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I'm thinking like invisibility is like really. Yeah. Something that you drawn to. Yeah,
it's super quiet, especially growing up. Super quiet.
Yeah.
I've had to fake that to teaching. And so I've learned to.
To be that. Beach or mountain?
Beach.
Oh, really?
Well, it depends on what time. In the summer, I don't know. It's a great question. Beach. Let's go with beach.
Go beach. Okay. Yeah. If you could write a note to your younger self, what would you say?
Ooh, I don't know if we can talk about that on here.
Next question. Okay.
Let's just put it like this. Just don't be so afraid of so many things. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid of what people think of you.
Wow.
Because I was super concerned. Like, I was really one to fit a mold.
Yeah.
And I wish I had let down my guards a little bit and lived.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's good. Call or text?
Text.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you see the phone ring, you're like, why didn't they just text me?
Like if I'm, I love to catch up with an old friend. Don't get me wrong. I love to talk to him. But yeah, just most of the time just text me.
Gotcha. What's a fear you've overcome? Will this go back to being an introvert?
Yeah, too? Yeah. It's just talking in front of people. Just yeah, interacting with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's something you're grateful for?
I had an incredible family growing up. Mm-hmm. Great parents, took care of me, my brother and I, just showed up at everything we ever did. And I didn't know if I understood that back then, but now I see a lot of things that aren't great with some kids, and man, I was lucky.
Yeah.
To have great parents and a great brother.
Now that you're a coach, teacher, do you see the difference that it makes when you see engaged parents versus not engaged parents?
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You can see it in kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not fair. It's not always fair to the kids that don't yeah. get that, but it's very important.
Yeah. You know,
very important to have someone at home that's taking care of you and loving on you.
For sure. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. What brings you the greatest joy?
My girls, daughters, seeing them get excited about things or be interested in certain things.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
Are any of them going to be running track?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially the little one. She's really fast.
Are you doing you're a track coach, but are you doing some of the stuff that your dad did with them younger? Are you creating opportunities like that, experiences like that?
Kind of just letting them find out what they want to do.
Okay.
And not pressuring them. Kind of try to influence here and there, but they've seemed to find what they're interested in right now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
What's the one thing you're working on improving about yourself?
Oh, man.
That you can share.
I am an older dad, and yeah. I want to live a long time. So I really try to take care of myself the best I can. I want to do that. I try to do that. I don't know.
That's good. We have the tagline for the Chamber of Commerce. It says, "Where community wins," and you've probably seen people use that hashtag, stuff like that. What does community wins mean to you?
Oh, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we need support from every aspect of everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know if that made any sense. No,
it makes perfect sense.
Like, the community is like this. Like,
yeah.
We're all in this.
Yeah.
And it takes all the business leaders, all the teachers, all the preachers, all the moms, the dads, the sisters. We need them all.
Yeah.
And we're all in this together.
Yeah. That's good. So we have the Choose Guthrie signs in yours. You have one in your yard.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting it in the right spot. Like, I'll put them in people's yards, they just leave them. I was like, no, you got to move it closer to something so you don't have to move it every time you cut grass. Yeah. So if you have a lawn person, they don't bend it, putting it back, you got it in a good spot. Thank you very much. Yeah. I drove by. I go and judge people after. There's one on Noble right now. If you watch this, don't take it the wrong way. I'm just being honest. There's one on Noble. I put it in and still there. I'm like, please move it closer to the house. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a picture of either yours, Adam Rop. Do you know who Adam is?
Adam who?
Rop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Adam. Yeah. So he put his in the right spot. It's close to the flower beds. Mm-hmm. Don't have to worry about cutting it, moving it, all that. So I'm going to take a picture of either yours or his and share that on social. Like, hey, when I give you a Guthrie America, the Choose Guthrie sign, this is where you put it. This is where you place the sign.
Let me mow first because it's... It looks like a wildflower.
So it's good. But what does that sound like? You got one in your yard. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're here.
Yeah.
Let's choose to be here. Let's choose to live in this place in the moment. Let's make it better. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this.
I like that.
Right?
Like,
we can all complain about something, or we can all, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But let's embrace where we're at, and this is a pretty great town
for sure.
If you're here, choose to be here
yeah
and make it better and be a part. be a part of it.
That's right.
That's what I think it means.
That's
maybe it doesn't.
No, to you, that's what it means. That's what we want. And it looks, it means the different, like you get different people what say what it means, but it all, like if you listen, like it's, we're all saying the same thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, just choosing to be here. It doesn't mean that you're going to, sometimes you may go down the crest in Edmond, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, you've made it a priority to go to the Walmart here and right. shop here and yeah. do that. But every once in a while, we got to step out and do those kind of things, but choose Guthrie means like you just make it a priority to do life. To me, that's what I think.
I like that.
Yeah,
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. So, man, thank you so much for your time today. Yeah. This is cool. I mean, like I said, we may have to do a part two just so we can keep going deeper in, because I just athletes who've done it at a high level. The interesting thing. So, I'm a pastor of a church, mm-hmm. and so I don't do the teaching. We have a person who, Pastor Rodney from Oklahoma City, does teaching. But anyway, last night, because our first experience is on Thursday night, he was just talking about being a Christian and compared it to being a world-class athlete. And as to be a world-class, let's say, Christian person, a mature, believing your faith, sometimes it is, oftentimes, well, it always is, about making those hard decisions. And he compared it to being an athlete. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said was like, you don't always get to eat what you want to eat. Because you've made it a priority to do the things that's going to allow for you to be the best athlete. Or sometimes you got to be to yourself. You can't hang out with it. So the things that you mentioned, which is really cool, he mentioned last night around just people of faith.
Yeah.
How we got to make those kind of decisions for ourselves if we're going to be all in on being a mature believer.
Yeah.
So super cool.
And just showing up and being yourself, right?
Just got to show
just
up.
Just keep showing
up. You got to keep showing up, right?
Keep showing up.
For sure. So thank you so much. Thank you for the work you do. I love teachers, but I also just love the stories of the people we're doing life here in our community. And so thank you for being a great community member and keep showing up. So,
thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Guthrie America podcast. And remember, we are on a mission to have every story told of the people who are doing life here and people who are from here. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, will yours be next? Go in.